Okay, glad you're along tonight as we roll out of the month of February and step right into March. And it's going to go just about as fast as February. We're going to talk this hour to a man who I literally can state has single-handedly done more to protect the First Amendment that I am aware of than anyone else in this country. He is the Reverend Ted Pike, who has been fighting for well over two decades to ensure that this program and the few others who are left with any integrity can honestly speak the truth as it appears to be. We don't always know. Sometimes we make mistakes here, but not very often. Ted is a true hero. Whether you agree with all of his religious issues or not is not the point. He is a constitutional American patriot of the highest order and a Christian as well. So in some cases, I'm sure many of you feel like you've got the whole thing all wrapped into one. In others, you cannot discredit this man for what he has done for this country. It is really second to none, and I am very honored to have him on the program tonight. Hello, Ted. Welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me, Joe.
It's my pleasure. We are once again in the pot, and the temperature is rising. Fortunately, the frogs are awake and croaking. Tell us how it looks.
Well, the thing I've been really concerned about in the last several weeks is that there really does seem to be shaping up a Jewish supremacist hate crimes Gestapo here in America.
Oh, you bet there is. Yep.
With ADL's head Abe Foxman presiding it over it as the commissar of the American Thought Police bureaucracy, and the ADL has been trying, of course, for decades to end free speech and to bring persecution against Christian conservatives. They've certainly established that in Canada, Australia, Holland, France, Germany, etc. But they've been trying to do it in America, but they haven't been having really an easy time, relatively speaking, because we have a long-standing Christian conservative political tradition here of political conservatives and activists going back literally 50 years and older that you never had in Canada, you never had in Australia, you never had in England. And I'm a veteran, of course, of that. My parents were Christian conservatives going clear back to the time of the communist takeover of China. And we have slugged forward, struggled forward many, many years. I vividly remember trying to promote a conservative revival under Barry Goldwater, Fred Schwartz, John Birch Society, and so on. It was very rocky going, very rough going, but it did lay a foundation of political activism and suspicion of conspiracies from on high and the media and so on, which they never had in these countries. And so the ADL was able to come in 1971 in Canada, and with relatively little resistance after 5 years of lobbying, they saddled the nation with a terribly oppressive hate laws, the Section 319 of the Federal Human Rights Act and so on, which have been a terrible thorn in the side of Christians and conservatives in Canada. But a year and a half ago, of course, the ADL finally succeeded in passing its federal hate crimes bill. But rather remarkably, we have seen substance in enforcement in anything resembling the Canadian, German style of hate crimes laws, what the ADL is used to being gratified with as a result of all of its labors. And the result, the reason is that, of course, our National Prayer Network and you and others have been working hard for at least a decade to educate the Christian right concerning the threat of hate crimes legislation and also the ADL Jewish supremacist origins of these Orwellian laws.
Every one of them.
As a result of that, ADL is very tentative about going forward with an aggressive hate crimes agenda here in the United States. And not only that, but the federal hate bill is extremely shaky constitutionally, especially since Eric Holder admitted before the Senate Judiciary a year and a half ago that it simply does not provide equality under the law. It gives special protections, special advantages to a small elite of specially protected groups, including homosexuals, Jews, and Muslims. And so What they don't want to do is to provoke some kind of a major constitutional challenge against the hate law right at its very inception. And so what ADL is trying to do is to jumpstart suspicion of the religious right, the Tea Party right, Christian conservatives, by making outlandish assertions against it, implications of anti-Semitism and paranoid conspiracy theories and so on. And, in fact, a year ago, Abe Foxman, head of the ADL, came out with a 30-page attack online against what he called the paranoid right. And he had a whole list of groups and peoples and people and leaders there in the religious political Tea Party right. He was calling millions of people paranoid conspirators, and the whole thing backfired tremendously on Foxman. And everybody started laughing at him, mocking him. Even the liberal media would not promote his attack, his attempt to jumpstart persecution, major persecution against the political right. In fact, Jonathan Tobin, who's the editor of Commentary Magazine, which is a large neoconservative magazine, he came out with a very biting a reproof of Foxman. And I was on the scene, and there you were there too to promote my articles. But I had sensational response nationally, with over 100 blogs and websites reproducing my attacks on Foxman and ADL. And he really had the head for cover. Foxman took a tremendous drubbing, as former ADL people and others all turned and attacked on him. So what I'm saying here is that ADL is and the Southern Poverty Law Center are both revealing a very conspicuous attempt, almost a desperate attempt, to move the schedule forward and get real persecution against going against the religious right, even if they have to manufacture so-called offenses. But they're having a kind of a tortuous time of it, because a good deal of the time their accusations don't stick and misfire and so on. But there is a very definite trend, especially for Abe Foxman, to ascend now as the commissar of thought crimes arbitration here in the country, to call everybody to account and force them to come and grovel before him.
Well said. It's something that this guy keeps, you knock him, what are those dolls you knock over and they keep popping back up? You know, they got a weight on the fat, they got a big fat bottom on them and they keep rolling back up. The guy just won't go away. Of course, when you have the mainstream media in your pocket, or at least assisting you, it becomes a lot easier to stay around. But he's done things that should have banished him for good. These organizations called the Southern Poverty Law Center, when you look into the origins of them and actually honestly do some research, like Morris Dees, look at that guy's background, people don't talk about these things. These organizations are dirty.
Yes, they are.
Absolutely dirty. And they continue to get sympathetic media coverage. And when everybody starts yelling anti-Semitism from their camps, the Gentile cattle run. They're not running as fast and as often as they used to. They're beginning to slow down a little, but they still cow at that expression. And if you remember the former minister of Knesset, what's her name, Aloni? Wonderful, brave woman, an honest Jew. Shulamit Aloni. And I'll try and pull that up. It's only about a minute long, but she explains how they use the term, the cliche, anti-Semite or anti-Semitism. She says it's a joke. We always use it. I mean, no question about it. It's one of the first golf clubs out of their bag when they seek to pound the head of the dumb goyim.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
It works, unfortunately.
It does. And yet we're seeing the ADL being frustrated to a very large degree in the total success it hoped it could have. We found this, in fact, only several months ago with the tragic shooting of Representative Giffords down in Tucson. Both the ADL and the SPLC, literally within hours, not even a full day after Giffords was shot, they were sending out press releases, and Mark Potok was on MSNBC railing against the right, literally with at least a dozen major accusations, trying to prove that the religious right had significantly influenced Jared Loughner. I should say the Tea Party, the so-called uncivil speech of the right in general had influenced Loughner. And as the days progressed, though, all of that dissipated, and we found that there was absolutely no evidence of any significant influence upon the assassin. And what happened was that all petered out, and yet the Jewish media picked up on these baseless accusations and innuendos from these Jewish supremacist attack groups and developed a major national discussion that we have a major problem here in the United States with lack of civility. And typically, ADL's Foxman has not being able to violently implicate the religious right behind this shooting. Now he goes to the opposite extreme and portrays himself, sets himself up as the teacher of civility in the United States. And their first very aggressive and underhanded effort having failed, Now Foxman wants to teach the nation about civility. And, of course, what he defines civility as is pro-homosexuality, passive acceptance of health care reform and every other evil of the Obama administration.
Right.
And, of course,
exactly.
The ADL, as you're saying, is the very worst possible candidate to teach civility to the nation.
Please.
Because it has a sordid reputation of being involved with organized crime, the Jewish mafia. In fact, back in 1990...
Ted, would you hold that thought, please? Would you hold that on record, please? We have to pause and come right back, and we'll plug it back in right after the break. We're running a little late. Okay, I'm back with Reverend Ted Pike. All right, Ted, go right ahead, please. Dirty ADL, dirty SPLC, dirty, dirty, dirty.
Yeah. Well, I was talking about ADL's head, Abraham Foxman, who's setting himself up to attempt to teach so-called civility to the nation, to our nation, I should say. And yet if you look into ADL's sordid past, you find an organization which has consistently supported pornography, abortion, homosexuality, and so on, tearing down Christian symbols and Ten Commandments and the whole thing, manger scenes. It's shown itself anything but civil toward the dominant religious perspective of our nation, which is Christianity. And especially egregious was about 1990, it came out that the ADL had been working with West Coast police in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Seattle, and Portland, Oregon, to amass a list of 10,000 people that it was keeping secret surveillance files on. In fact, my father and I were in that list of the secret dossiers. The ADL had been keeping all kinds of confidential information on unsuspecting Christians and conservatives and pro-lifers and even Muslims. And ADL was finally found guilty by a Los Angeles court and reprimanded for that. Of course, the judge, being a liberal and pro-ADL, what he did was he fined them $70,000 and he had to pay it to enforce a free speech in America or something like that. But it was a real setback for ADL to be caught red-handed collecting everybody else's business except their own. And similarly, in about 2001, ADL was fined more than $10.5 million. I think it came out with interest about closer to $14 million for smearing a filmmaker in Colorado who had big connections with the Hollywood movie industry. Quigley was his name, calling him anti-Semitic. They were found that there was no justification for this. And on and on we go with this tawdry history. ADL sitting in the driver's seat, pontificating to other people about so-called tolerance and respect for diversity, all these kinds of things. On the other hand, it showing itself a master of defamation. And in fact, I might say that the ADL should be retitled the American Defamation League, because it is so uncivil in smearing anybody who criticizes Israel or matters Jewish.
Well, I'd go further and call it the American Defecation League, but that's just me.
Yeah, but Now, as we come up to the near present, ADL, you see, is so eager, so itching to bring persecution, particularly against evangelical Christians and the religious right, that is having a really hard time doing this, because, you see, the religious right is absolutely marinated in love for Israel. In fact, Joe Farah's WorldNet Daily actually subsidized a poll recently to find out the extent of the loyalty and love of the religious right for Israel. They found that something like, this isn't perfectly accurate, was something like 70% of evangelicals remain undaunted in their complete love of Israel, even after the Gaza bombardment, even after the flotilla raid, terrorist raid, and so on. 70% of the evangelicals are standing firm behind Israel, believing literally, as the questionnaire asked, whether Israel is still the apple of God's eye, though imperfect, still the apple of God's eye. And 70% of American born-again Christians believe that Israel still is the apple of God's eye. However, they also asked Jewish members of the Jewish community in America what they thought about unconditional support of Israel, and it actually dropped down to something like 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Amazingly, the religious goyim are much more emphatic in their support of Israel even than the American secularized Jews themselves. And so what ADL is doing is it has a really hard road to hoe here in order to portray the evangelicals as anti-Semitic or hate mongers, the worthy of federal hate crimes prosecution. But it's dredging up basically false arguments and false accusations against the religious right, particularly against Glenn Beck, and insinuations about other leaders on the right, but particularly Beck, and the incredible twisted way in which they are doing this is as follows. See if you can follow this. You see, for at least a half a century, closer to 60 or 70 years, these very Jewish propaganda groups have been inculcating, drumming into our minds night and day that the Nazis and their Holocaust was the worst affliction of evil and atrocity and genocide against the Jewish people, against any people in all of history. Nothing compares to it. The Nazi Holocaust attempting to exterminate 6 million Jews far surpasses any other atrocity of history, including, of course, approximately 110 million Gentiles and Christians who were killed under Jewish-inspired communism. So we've learned that lesson very, very well. And so it is taken for granted by religious leaders that we will agree with the Jews that there is, that the very benchmark of evil and atrocity beyond all other measure, it lies in Nazism. And it's okay, then, to call your worst enemy a Nazi. It's okay to call Obama and Obamacare, abortion, a Holocaust, and so on. That's okay. But now, showing the desperation of the Jewish supremacists to get something on Beck and get something on the religious right, now Foxman is manufacturing a new ethic, and that is, it's very wrong. Very wrong to trivialize Jewish suffering throughout history.
Don't touch it.
By infringing on the Jewish copyright on the terms Nazi, on the term Holocaust. Now they're saying Beck has been very, very bad. He's used the term Holocaust and Nazi hundreds of times, which is very hurtful to the Jewish community.
That's a sin.
They own the Holocaust, and they own the Nazis, you see.
It's a sin, and by God, he's got to pay. This is unbelievable and all true. Have these people nothing better to do? Nope, they don't. All right, back in just a minute. Okay, glad to have you back, talking with Ted Pike about matters nefarious and disgusting. The smearing of innocent people, the ruining of careers, the threatening of lives, the blackmail, the extortion, it's all there. I've seen it all. Many of you out there have certainly a good idea what I'm talking about. The site, this program, has been attacked for many, many years by these people who are so afraid of honest presentations of all sides of an issue that they'll do anything to destroy anything. They can't take the truth. And the truth is, there's more than one view than theirs. They're entitled to theirs. I won't begrudge them that. Let them have it. But don't make it a religion. Don't try and force it on the world. Don't try and inculcate it into people so that they feel guilt and they're afraid and they're fear-based. Is that honorable? Is that ethical? Gee, honor and ethics. Two words that don't exactly fit with the ADL and the others, do they, Ted?
No, they certainly don't. Well, it's become very, very conspicuous and is intensifying the efforts of the Jewish supremacist groups, ADL and STLC, to get something almost at any price on the religious right, to begin to stereotype, and I'm using a standard ADL phrase there, to stereotype the religious right as anti-Jewish, homegrown form of terrorism and so on. And we saw this again about a month ago when 600 American rabbis, primarily of the Reform branch of Judaism, which is the liberal branch of Judaism and the predominant group of Jews in America, they wrote to Rupert Murdoch, the head of Fox News, the News Corporation, demanding that Beck be reprimanded, be censured for trivializing Jewish suffering and the Holocaust by loosely using the word Nazi and Holocaust to describe Obamacare and liberals and abortion and so on. And this was all so preposterous, had nothing remotely anti-Semitic in it, but so preposterous that Beck didn't even answer. He didn't reply, these 600 primarily liberal rabbis.
Mm-hmm.
But several weeks later, he had learned his lesson well, evidently, and had really figured out where the left-wing pro-abortion, pro-homosexual group of Jews resided in liberal Judaism, and he made an innocent statement that in the sense that the liberal Jews are predominantly preoccupied with matters political rather than matters spiritual, they are like Islamic extremists who are primarily interested in a political agenda rather than a spiritual one. And this really set off national American Jewry again. They claim terribly, they were
right.
Terribly misrepresented.
Oh, yeah.
And Eric Jaffe and the liberal, these Reform Jews set up a huge outcry that again he be apologized. In fact, ADL's Foxman said this was now beyond the pale. This was absolutely unacceptable. They demanded Beck's apology for comparing liberal Judaism to Islamic radicalism. And very quickly, Beck did grovel before ADL. He came before the commissar, the thought police commissar in America, the effective ruling Star Chamber ADL. He came, he groveled, and he said that this was the most unfortunate metaphor of his whole life, and that he has spoken entirely out of his abysmal ignorance of the subject of Judaism.
Unbelievable.
Well, we know the truth. We know the truth that he's beginning to add one and one together. He's beginning to see very clearly where the real eye of the octopus that has so many tentacles in liberal legislation, anti-Christian legislation in America, is really originating. And of course, he knows the truth, just like most of these religious right leaders now know the truth. But what is happening here? We're finding this is a phenomenon, part of a much larger instability in the public image of Judaism and Israel and Zionism in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
You see, especially after the 2002 invasion of the West Bank, and then the 2009 invasion of Gaza, and the botched flotilla raid a year and a half or so, a year ago, Israel has really, really taken a drubbing in world opinion. there is an anti-Zionist movement flourishing in the world such as the Jewish supremacists have never seen. And so ADL, you mentioned these little puppets or whatever the thing that pop up. Every time somebody pops up in the shooting gallery with any kind of a statement, whether it's Oliver Stone or Helen Thomas, on and on and on, somebody in righteous indignation says something that's not terribly flattering about Israel or Jews or Judaism, then it's now becoming the full-time preoccupation of Abe Foxman to bat them down and retain dominance, retain authority here to enforce
he would destroy them. You know, he wants to destroy them. They bat them down, yes, but crush them. They show no mercy unless people grovel like the execrable Beck did. That was a vile. How that man can have any following after such a vile display of servility to evil, I don't understand. I truly don't.
Truth is that Beck's statement was not malicious. He was making a
He made a very reasonable statement in his mind. It wasn't malicious. It wasn't anti-Semitic at all. He was talking about radicalism of all kinds.
That's right. Absolutely. And the Jewish community is very candid that Reform Judaism is primarily secular Judaism. And Orthodox rabbis like Rabbi Lapin of Seattle or Rabbi... the rabbi in Los Angeles, forget his name.
Schifrin.
Yeah. Rabbi Schifrin. Excuse me.
Okay.
Both of those have been very outspoken in their criticism of what they call secular Judaism. You see, about 300 years ago, I should say more like. A little more than 200 years ago, at the time of the French Revolution in 1787, Judaism began to emerge out of the ghettos of Eastern Europe, out of the very hidebound and restricted walls of ancient Orthodox Judaism. And a movement was spawned at that time, the beginnings of the Reform movement. In fact, it was led by Moses Mendelssohn, who was the grandfather of the great composer Felix Mendelssohn. And Reform Judaism said that the Jews were going to have to adjust to modern life in order to survive. They couldn't stay behind the walls of the racism and bitter enmity against Gentiles, the kind of xenophobic isolation. They were going to have to move into the new age. And with Reform Judaism came a very pronounced political agenda.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Hold on. We'll talk about that Reform political agenda in just a minute, Ted, please. We have to take a break. We'll come back and listen to Ted. I'm going to play you the very short clip of Shulamit Aloni, who talks about how the Israelis and the Jews use the term anti-Semitism as a trick. They know. They laugh. They laugh at us, folks. They laugh at us when we cower, when we run. They howl at Glenn Beck when he drops to his knees and grovels. They howl at every president when they go to the AIPAC convention and grovel. It's despicable. We'll be back in just a minute. Okay, let's get right back to the program. And here's that piece. It's short, Ted. I'm going to play this because it's very instructional. It's very informative. In fact, I'm going to put it back on my homepage for a while. People need to understand that here's an honest Israeli Jewish woman. She was actually the education minister in the Knesset, MK, in Israel. And she's over here talking to Amy Goodman, who asks her the question and then stands back, where you can almost see her... a little concerned about what she's about to hear. But here's the truth from an honest human being, an Israeli. She tells it straight.
Yours is a voice of criticism we don't often hear in the United States. Often when there is dissent expressed in the United States against policies of the Israeli government, people here are called anti-Semitic. What is your response to that as an Israeli Jew?
Well, it's a trick. We always use it. When from Europe somebody is criticizing Israel, then we bring up the Holocaust. When in this country people are criticizing Israel, then they are anti-Semitic. And the organization is strong and has a lot of money. And the ties between Israel and the American Jewish establishment are very strong, and they are strong in this country. As you know, they have power, which it's okay, they are talented people, and they have power, money, and media, and other things. And their attitude is Israel, my country, right or wrong, the identification. And they are not ready to hear criticism, and it's very easy to blame people who criticize certain acts of the Israeli government as anti-Semitic, and to bring up the Holocaust and the suffering of the Jewish people, and that justify everything we do to the Palestinians.
Well, no, it doesn't justify everything they do to the Palestinians, but that's how they view it, and that's the net result in the minds of most people, unless they catch on to the game. As Ms. Aloni said, it's a trick, and it's a damn dirty trick, and it works damn well. Go ahead, Ted.
Well, you see, we have so been deeply brainwashed, basically, with a tremendous fear of ADL. Here's this organization supposedly now dedicated to teaching ethics and civility to the nations, and yet everybody lives in terror of ADL, especially the leaders of the religious right. And with this very, very high level of fear, practically a phobia of coming even anywhere near the Jewish issue, all it takes is the accusation of anti-Semitism, whether there's any substance there at all, to send shockwaves and terror through leaders such as Beck. And so all it takes is for the 600 rabbis or ADL spokesman to say that this borders on anti-Semitism or whatever, then that becomes the reality. Nobody's interested in documentation or the truth at all. They're not going to do research to find out whether what Beck is saying is actually true about secular Judaism or not. And as I was saying just a minute ago, secular Judaism is undeniably secular or political in a liberal sense, and has been for over 200 years. And there was a rift in Judaism, the time of the French Revolution. Moses Mendelssohn led Judaism into what was called Haskalah, or the Reform Movement, and the ruling a theology or political ideology at that time among these Jews was that just as Moses had delivered the Hebrews out of bondage in Israel, so it was the duty of modern Jews to become social activists and to deliver the proletariat out of capitalistic bondage. And so what we see during the entirety of the 20th century is Jews in the leadership of socialist movements and movements of national revolution throughout Europe, the revolution of 1829, 1848, the Paris Commune in 1871, were all dominated by Jews. And, of course, that was capped off in 1905. And then finally, most tragically, in the Bolshevik Revolution, where the Romanov dynasty was overwhelmingly overthrown by Jews, especially Jews from New York, and financed by a reform Jew, Jacob Schiff, head of the Jewish banking house Kuhn and Loeb in New York. And so all the way through to this very moment, all the liberal Jews, all reform Jews, take it for granted that they have parted from any real spirituality. Uh-huh. In fact, you just Google Reform Judaism, and there it hits you in the face. It says Reform Judaism believes that God created homosexuality and homosexuals and delights in their expression of this alternative lifestyle. That is the stand of modern Reform or secular Judaism. And so Beck comes out with a very mild statement of fact, and somehow he becomes beyond the pale. He becomes a non-person who must be, in fact, what they're trying to do is they're trying to tear him off of Fox News and brand him as a closet anti-Semite and ruin his career.
Well, it's a very nice synopsis, a lot of good history there. Jacob Schiff, by the way, the banking mogul, had a family, and his grandchildren, his grandson in particular, guess who his grandson married? Al Gore's daughter. All in the family. Armand Hammer, Al Gore's master, Al, the protege of Hammer, who had his private jet and could fly in and out of the Soviet Union at any time he wanted, simply with a request for clearance, and he'd be flagged right on in. Look, yes. Folks, the game is being played out at a level that few would be able to wrap their minds around, even if we could tell them accurately. We try. Yes. But this is all being run by a consortium of evil, satanic pedophilia, greed beyond measure, insatiable greed and lust. And human life means nothing to these people. Nothing.
Yes. Well, what particularly distresses me as a Christian is that I am watching my fellow clergy, my fellow religious leaders, my brethren in the faith, literally empowering Foxman, SPLC, these Jewish supremacists in this extremely threatening and dreadful course that they're taking. You know, you ask, what is world control? What is world domination? What does it mean to say that the Jewish supremacists control a country? Well, do you realize that Foxman is ascending in power? He is rising in power entirely because of the silence of the religious right. Back a year ago, when he called millions of Americans paranoid conspirators, if the religious right had wanted to jump on that issue and go after Foxman and discredit ADL, they would have had the perfect opportunity. They also would have had the perfect opportunity when ADL and SPLC jumped the gun back in the Tucson shooting. But again and again and again, we find the religious right so afraid of the Jews that they lose these opportunities to discredit ADL. They won't even mention the word ADL. And in fact, Joe Farah of WorldNet Daily, he actually endorsed the ADL in its diatribe against Helen Thomas. And so what we see is that the religious right, by its silence, is empowering ADL, especially Foxman, to assume even greater power than he's had in the past. A year ago, we had prominent Jews, even former ADL leadership, viciously attacking ADL. Many, many opportunities we've had over the last 10, 20 years to take ADL out and to completely discredit it. The religious right never rises to these opportunities and these positions of advantage. And so ADL is now ascending as the working hate crimes, thought crimes commissar for the nation, if not for the entire world. These are very ominous times. And in lieu of active resistance by religious and political leaders on the right in America, I'm just calling the average person who can write a letter to the editor, who can call in on talk radio, who can speak out in church to give sound a warning now against ADL, Jewish supremacism. In other words, the very secular Judaism that Glenn Beck was very mildly perhaps warning against.
Well, again, I don't see how anyone could continue to follow this weak wimp who I'd say he pretended not to know. I think he knew. I think he was making a very good point. And when they put the pressure on him, they basically said, you either comply or you're toast. And he fell so fast. That's not the kind of a leader that deserves a title leader in any way, shape, or form. Ted, thank you for being here. It's great to get updated, as always. And, you know, all we're asking for, folks, is equal time on the planet with all other causes, all other views. But that's too much for these people. They will not hear of it. All right, talk to you soon, my friend.
Thank you, Jeff.
Indeed. Good night.
Good night.
All right, that's hour number two. We will pause and be back.